time now for our Wednesday morning conversation with Wendell Quisenberry, our school district administrator here in Tomawak. Good morning, Wendell.
Good morning, Jeff.
Last week was our regular scheduled time after the school board meeting, but you were off at some administrators conference or something like
that. Yeah, I was. So okay. We had to push it back a week.
Okay, good deal. Glad to have you here this morning. We've got a lot of topics to cover here this morning. Let's start off with the winter sports update. There is something really cool happening with the hockey team this year.
There is something special.
Yeah.
So they punched their ticket to the sectional final this weekend, the win last night. So we're excited to see what they do. I know Alex has been covering all of our sports, doing a very good job of covering as many games as he can. He's all over the place, But yeah, that was an excellent game last night. We had a girls basketball game, first regional win in many years. We actually hosted that game, which was special for them. And we've got a state qualifier for wrestling in Elise Gibo that'll be competing on Thursday and Friday this week. So a lot of really exciting things happening.
We just had some swimmers compete at state too, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah, we there are. It's been an exciting season, winter season. It was an exciting fall season. And by the looks of everything outside, fingers crossed, knock on wood, we're going to have a great spring season as well. So
yeah, hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. We've been I always feel bad for the kids in spring sports up here because with the extra snowfall and then the melting of all that, it takes a while before they can get out on the field. If things hold like they are right now, they're going to be out there day one.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Good deal. The hockey team, though, tell me a little bit more. The hockey team is performing like our hockey team in Tomahawk hasn't performed in a lot of years either.
Well, yeah, and these kids have played together for a long time. They've had a lot of success throughout youth hockey, and you're starting to see that. You saw it last year building, and they're just coming into their own, and the way they've handled that success this year and how they've grown as a team, a lot of great leadership, over the years and this year as well with that team. So, they're a confident team right now at the right time too, and they have been all year. But it's they're fun to watch.
Yeah, what is it? Luck, health, and just timing are the three things that can really go a long way to helping a team go all
and
the way.
Preparation
and
right?
preparation,
yeah, and they work hard. So
you mentioned youth sports. When I used to live right next to the school, I remember, especially in the nicer weather, a lot of adults here in Tomahawk taking time to coach little kids. I mean the little kids, the t-ball kids, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Here in Tomahawk, we have a pretty good feeder program for all the high school stuff. All the sports are covered here in Tomahawk, right? As far as youth sports, kids can start as early as what kindergarten or so.
Sure, yeah, they start early. We're starting to see basketball be built back again and have some youth opportunities for kids. But yeah, volleyball, swim, hockey for sure, little league, both baseball and softball. It's dance too in this community. So there's a lot of options for kids to be involved in a lot of different things. And it's great to see the numbers of kids that are involved in things.
And their enthusiasm. And it's nice to see that there are a lot of parents willing to volunteer their time to help their kids and their kids' friends develop in sports. And hats off to all the parents that started off with these kids as really little shavers and now seeing them succeed in high school. That's got to be great for those folks, too.
Yeah, that's great family time.
Absolutely. So congratulations to all our winter sports enthusiasts at Tomahawk High School. Those student-athletes working hard and making the town proud, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Some other things to shine a light on. We heard in the news the last couple of days, we heard this morning about the success on the forensics team. I believe yesterday Tim had a story on the FBLA, the Future Business Leaders of America state qualifiers. So let's talk about FBLA. What? There was no organization like that when I was in school back in the olden days. What is FBLA for people that aren't familiar with the whole program?
So it's what they call a CTSO, so our career and technical education classes have clubs that branch off of there. So FBLA is Future Business Leaders of America, and it's a project-based club, competitive club, as you saw, and kids get to take what they learn in class, they get to build on those skills and use them for different projects.
What do those competitions look like?
I've never been a part of one, but really it's a lot of presentation based on what your project is and what you're doing. And it leads, typically they're very much, community-based projects and how you're, and then you're presenting on what you've done
on your idea.
Yeah.
So, it, like a lot of times in business, you have something to sell, you have an idea or whatever, you make a presentation to somebody. So, is it kind of like that?
The skills are very much the same. Yeah,
got it.
For sure.
Understood. Yeah, boy, why didn't we have that stuff? Is that a relatively new program?
I don't think it's relatively new. It's
really
it's been around here at Tomahawk for many years, and we talk a lot about FCCLA and some of the work that's been done in that. We've always had successful programs there too. So really, it comes down to a lot of schools. If you don't have a business program in your school, you're probably not going to have a strong FBLA.
We had typing class.
Yeah, there you go.
That's about it. Mr. Putz, I'll never forget Mr. Putz.
Yeah.
Spring musical, I understand some kids and probably their coach will be here talking about this. I think next week we're going to have a conversation with the folks about the spring musical. Can you give us a little hint about what it's going to be?
Yeah, Little Women.
Okay, classic.
Yeah, and you know, they've been, that group is always such a hardworking group. They're you know, they're in there, they're practicing every day and rehearsing every day, and you know, we're looking forward to it. So March 1st and 2nd will be the dates, 7 p.m and then they'll have the matinee, as they always do on that Sunday on March 3rd at 2 o'clock.
They'll be in 1 week from today,
okay.
Sitting right where you are right now to give us a preview. We've been talking a little bit about the Wall of Honor. We'll get back to this Booster Club thing in a second. But the Wall of Honor, what's the update there?
So we have all of our quotes and mock-ups have come in, and we are looking at, we've made the selection. We know what it's going to look like. What the sign is going to look like, what the emblems are going to look like, and what the plaques are going to look like. We've got over 200 names that have been put on the list that will be on the wall initially. We are going to continue to accept names ongoing. That won't end. So we have some of those mock-ups displayed at the school in the location where this will be, as a coming soon poster. You can also go to the website, and we put some stuff on there yesterday where you can go and see what the Wall of Honor is going to look like. So this has been a great opportunity where we have collaborated with a number of area veterans from our community that have been a part of this process from the ground level, from it's when we had the idea, and Colleen Frisch, who is our district secretary, deserves a lot of credit for the work outside of those committee meetings in pulling together the quotes, working with companies, finding the emblems and different things that are out there. So she's been kind of the point person for moving this whole thing forward.
When you first brought it up, I was curious to see or to think about how many entries would come in initially. 200 names you said you received. Was that like a bigger number than you ever thought, or what about that number?
We thought initially that would, we had no idea. We thought it'd be a high number. You know, we think as it, you know, as it's, everything is there and people start to see it at when they come to sporting events and different things that happen at the school, that we're going to continue to see that number grow. I think 200 is a really good number.
I think that's a huge number, with
where we thought we would have initially. But we're hoping to see that. We would like to see that up near 1,000 within a few years.
And so who's going to qualify for that once again?
Anybody who is a Tomahawk alum. Tomahawk High School alum, you don't have to have graduated there, just have been a student and served in the armed forces.
That's it. They send an just anything, an email, whatever, to the school office?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just the name and, you know, and then obviously they will verify it, and then, yeah, you'll be...
And where they served, what they served, that kind of stuff.
And the nice thing about this, too, is the sign, the initial sign, the Wall of Honor sign, Tomahawk Wall of Honor, is a purchase. The emblems are a purchase because they're handcrafted, hand-painted. But the plaques and the name tags, the actual plaques will be made right at the school.
Okay.
And the name plates will be engraved at the school.
Pretty cool.
Engraved at the school. So most of this moving on after this purchase will be done right at the school.
So the kids are going to be able to take ownership of this thing, too.
Yep, absolutely. Right.
Outstanding. Tomahawk Athletic Booster Club, they do a whole bunch of work for our school and the student-athletes at school. No matter what sport it is, the Tomahawk Booster Club, the Hatchet Booster Club, they're here for our athletes. And what they just, some new banners, what were the banners for?
Yeah, so our banners, just recognizing all of our success over the years athletically that hang in our field house. The Booster Club, just wanted to give a special thanks to them. these new banners look fantastic. They add so much. Whenever you walk into a gym and you see the history of your sports programs, they add it for, you know, for fans coming in, for families that maybe were part of those teams at one time, or and also for our kids to see and to be inspired by what has happened in the past and to build that culture around something. So these the banners are have been updated. We had them there in the past, but they were in need of updates. And so I want to thank Ryan Flynn for taking the lead on that and working. I know he worked with the Booster Club to you know, pull together the funds needed to get that done. He worked with Bob Scooball, thanks to him as well, for local, you know, always a local historian that pulls all that together. So we want to thank Bob for going back and really digging in and pulling some of those dates out for us as well.
Good deal. Can't wait to see what it looks like in there. Zach has always been my point man for letting me know what's going on at the school board meetings. And in Zach's absence, I don't know what happened at the school board meeting last week. So we can talk a little bit about that. Anything you want to bring out about that? It's hiring season for school districts, isn't it?
It is. Okay. It is. And we've got some openings. So we've had 7 retirees this year. So we've got... you know, those positions open, a number of coaching positions posted for next year, going into next year. So we will be busy. We'll be busy again this year, making some new hires. We always, you know, wish the best to our retirees and thank them for their long service. And we do that as those names come in, but, and we'll have something at the end of the year. But right now we're trying to get these positions posted as early as possible. And anybody looking to, move districts or come into our districts or new staff, it's always exciting to see who you get as applicants and what they can bring as far as fresh perspectives to your district as well.
And I'd be curious, when it comes to hiring time, are we seeing teachers that want to live up north here? Are they younger? Are they older? Or are they cover the whole gamut?
Yeah, a combination of both.
Okay.
And, you know, we see one of the problems, and we've talked about this a lot, is our new teachers coming here and finding a place that they can live affordably.
Yeah.
And we've been fortunate to find different apartments and different arrangements, but we know that typically if a younger teacher is living in another community, their lifespan here is probably short. They're going to go and they're going to establish themselves in another community and probably end up teaching at that school. So it's imperative that we can get them living here, get them ingrained into our school, have friends, have something that they connect to here. And, you know, that's a big part of retention.
Do you have conversations with contractors, community developers, and things like that, and let them know that, yeah, we've got we can attract better teachers and more teachers here, but we have nowhere for them to live? Is that a conversation that you can have with building professionals or what?
Well, I think it extends well beyond any of those conversations. This is something that we've known for many years here, and we're an expensive part of the state to live. We know our land prices have gone up, and we have a lot of lakes and a lot of, you know, a very desirable place for people to be, and that causes your prices to go up. So, yeah, there's, you know, been a lot of talk about different projects and proposals to increase affordable living options for our families here in town, and we'll see if those things materialize over time or not.
Maybe a teacher who's been teaching for a long time, they're 5-6 years away from retirement, they want to retire up north anyway, boy, they'd be some perfect candidates.
We get some of those.
Really?
We get folks oftentimes, if you know, folks will come up here and they're, you know, midway, you know, through, and but they'll say, we have a cabin up here, or you know, what drew you to the Northwoods? What drew you to Tomahawk? Well, I used to come up here as a kid. We used to come up here camping. I just fell in love with the area, and I want to be here. So the thing that we have going for us is the fact that we're a place where a lot of people want to be.
Hmm.
And now it's finding an opportunity for them to be here and to be able to afford to live here.
So. Have there been conversations about, I'm just trying to think outside the box here a little bit here. So for a young teacher that wants to move up north, they can't find a decent place to live, I know a halfway house is not the right word, like a foster house or something like that, where somebody could come in, they can take the job, they'll have a place to live, and then they can kind of take their time looking for a more permanent place. I'm just wondering if anybody out there would be willing to open up their home to a potential teacher that is coming in here, something that they can tell the school board, say, yes, I have a nice home here, I can share it with somebody. And so if you have any potential hires, tell them that, yes, they can stay here with me while they look for another place on their own. You never know some of the beautiful situations that can come out of that.
Yeah, yeah. If that's
just
out
an
there,
idea,
we'd be happy to pass that information along.
Just an idea. So, you know, folks, if you know teachers downstate, wherever, tell them life is good here in Tomahawk. Come over and see Wendell and the rest of the folks. Maybe have them teaching right here in Tomahawk.
That's right.
Board reapportionment. Tell me what that means.
Yeah, so the board had formed an ad hoc committee a while back to really take a deep dive and a hard look at how representation on the school board is in line with our population shifts over time.
Okay.
It's something that hasn't really been addressed in many years. They've got a lot of work, a lot of meetings in this so far, and it's getting to the point where they've landed on a few options. And their next steps in that process is to make sure that the folks in this community have access to the reasoning behind what they're doing and what they've come up with. And so they've scheduled three informational sessions. Actually, I take that back, five. So they'll have them coming up here in March. March 13th, they'll have two listening sessions. You can check the website for the specific times on those. March 19th, they'll have another one. And then March 21st, they'll have an evening session as well. And really at those sessions, they're going to look at providing as much information as they can about how the population has shifted and where it shifted. What they've taken a look at is how they can take the district that we have, and we have a 9-member board, and place those members where they're going to best represent the population.
Okay.
And right now it's just sort of, you know, the population has shifted, but we've never changed the apportionment of where the boards and who their representation areas are.
Okay.
So, they've got, you know, some information that will be presented at the meetings. We have some stuff currently on our website as well, and we'll be putting more information up there. That's always a good hub for people to find that, but it's right on the district tab under Board of Education. You'll see board reapportionment. And, you know, the other piece of this, too, is not just the apportionment, but also the election cycles. So how do the terms play out so that you don't have one area that all of a sudden has two brand new board members? So it'd be one board member from each area, you know, on certain dates, and how that election cycle plays out. So this decision will ultimately be made at the annual meeting. That will be in next September. But it will take some time to implement it as well. And I think one of the things that they're writing into this is a mandate that this will be looked at every 10 years.
Okay.
So we don't get into a situation where we're behind the eight ball again and really have to put a ton of time into it. We can stay up on it as the census data comes back.
What are some of the things people are with these listening sessions? They'll be able to ask questions too. Yep. I would assume not just receive information, but ask too.
Correct.
Okay, good. And I'm sure Zach is going to be on top of this. He's going to let everybody know when those are, when they're happening, and whatever happens in those meetings. Zach will be covering that very well.
Yep.
Anything else, Wendell, before I let you get back to work today?
No, I don't think so. Go Hatchets.
Okay. Yeah.
Great day to be a Hatchet, right?
Boy, I'll say hockey and girls basketball still alive. We've got a state qualifier for wrestling on the girls' side of things. So exciting things happening here in Tomahawk with our sports and our student athletes. And I wish them all the best. And, yeah, go Hatchets.
Go Hatchets. Thanks for the opportunity, Jeff.
Thank you, Wendell.